Distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Flexing comes up with a steal. Ball nearly taken away by Dudley. Curry. From inside the 28-foot line. Does it again.
Just as good a year.
Look up. Oh! You don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
I hate you, I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else.
But you.
That's why no one will remember your name.
I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman, man.
Hello, and welcome to the Couch Sports Podcast, episode 22. Clyde Drexler, Emmitt Smith. Who's another famous 22?
22 Filmo.
Right. The greatest bus line in Muni history. I am David M. Allen with the great Terrell Barron. And we are the Couch Sports Podcast. The dynamic duo is back. It's going to be a fast one for all you bastards who say we record too long and whatever. So, hey, we're here.
We're premature ejaculating. Ha! Woo! Censor that.
How you feeling today? You sound like you're in a great mood.
Oh man, I had a good weekend with the kids. I been eating right. Got the blood pressure a little bit down. Got the weight a little bit down. You know, I'm feeling good right now.
Word. Okay.
How you doing?
Hell, I'm great, man. I'm great. I'm just waiting on this Raider game to come on, so I'll be kind of flipping between the Raiders and the Pistons a little bit. Truth be told, I'll probably just wake up in the morning and watch them both really early in the morning before I head out and do what I do. And probably like 4 in the morning, I'll be watching either or. One of these is getting watched, and the other is getting watched at 4 in the morning. So that's all I'm waiting on.
Excellent pregame and postgame podcast that you do for the Pistons. You score and direct. You want your executive producer credit, don't you?
I want all my credits and my royalties.
I charge it 700%.
Oh, man. I'm doing the editing. I'm doing it all. God damn it.
He's doing it all, man. He's Quincy Jones over there.
I'm just trying to do a little bit of everything, man. I'm just trying to. Actually, mm-hmm. A little bit ago, I was trying to put together this editing for YouTube. I got to get better at iMovie. I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to start putting my pre-games and post-games and anything that has to do with the Pistons on YouTube.
Excellent.
And I might even just start recording videos instead of just doing audio for it to maximize eyes and ears.
He want everybody listening. Newborns, mamas,
right.
Preachers, everybody. Homeless dude on the street.
For
everybody
all these simple listening. People who just want to see videos and that's it.
He's going to have you covered.
Right.
Oh, you didn't fill in the listeners, our last podcast, 21, about your decision. That's one thing we forgot if you were going to watch the Andre Ward.
Oh,
fight.
Yeah, I actually ordered it.
How was it?
It was a great fight. It was very controversial.
Please fill us in.
All right. Well, I ordered the fight. It was $65 and oh my God, it was kind of an impulse buy. I just said, you know what? Forget it. And, I'll just deal with it when the bill comes.
Was it okay? Two questions real quick. What kind of food did you have? And did you buy it, like, as the time was winding down, or was it, like, an hour before the fight? He was like, all right, fuck it, I'm going to just buy it.
It was an hour before the fight, and I just said, you know what, fuck this. So I decided to buy it an hour before the fight. All I had was, like, popcorn and like, whatever other food we had in the house. And
ooh!
Then, well, here's the thing. I was going to barbecue, and I grabbed the coals, went outside. Mind you, the bag felt heavier than what was really in there, and literally 10 coals came out.
Oh, I thought you said the groundhog came out. I was about to start dying.
No. Actually, the coal bag, the bag of coals, and it felt heavier than I thought. I'm thinking, 20, 25, just a little something. I said, okay, it'd be enough to get a small fire. But no, literally 10 coals came out, and I put my head down, went back inside. It was colder than the bitch, too.
120, 140, 100. Oh, that's 10 coals.
Exactly. So I ended up, I just went back in the house and ate whatever was in here. Got the fight. Had to watch all these weak ass undercards, boxers. Then the actual main event came on around, damn near 10 o'clock, my time. And yeah. Anyway, Andre Ward got knocked down first round. He was doing too much filling around, trying to feel the Russian cat out too much. Messed around and got popped with a good one, went down, and he shook his head like, all right, yeah, he is strong as they say he is. And he went real tactical after that. He is a couple times I couldn't tell if he was trying to outbox the dude. He was trying to be too tactical. I don't know what that man was trying to do for a while. And it was, he had me on the edge of my seat the whole fight. So, yeah, it was worth the $65 because he messed around and won. It was controversial because I wasn't even sure if he really won. I wasn't 100% sure. Like, it was rounds that I felt like he gave up. And it was rounds that he obviously won. And then, yeah, he edged him out. He edged out Sergey out. He pulled out the win. He became the number one pound for pound fighter in boxing, and yeah, here he is. Oakland's very on, so yeah.
That sounds like you had a great time. A lot of people don't. We'll use the Floyd Mayweather Pacquiao fight. People don't understand the artistry, the training, the chess moves that are involved in boxing, and. It's kind of the thing, like boxing is something also kind of similar to football where you have to grow up in it, mm-hmm. If because ESPN's always going to promote knockouts, they're going to promote showboating, MMA is big, UFC is big, there's artistry in boxing, or there's so many different types of strategies. Like, why do you think when you go see a boxing movie, you come out hella juice and hella just like you feel good about yourself? Like, no one appreciates the defensive tactics that are involved in boxing.
This is true, and truth be told, that's why a lot of people don't like Floyd Mayweather matches, or don't appreciate him, I should say, because they don't like his matches because they don't like him. But they don't appreciate his what he does because he's so defensive, and because, he made it an art form. To make people look silly and not be able to hit him. And but this Andre Ward fight, I think it may have rekindled my love for boxing, because it, for the last maybe 5 or 6 years, I hadn't cared, man. I had became a UFC guy, and I appreciate watching the UFC because you're seeing people from all these different disciplines. You're seeing people who are good at kickboxing, people who are good at, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, boxers, wrestlers, you name it. And they all come together to, see who's the best. And it's competition at its highest form. It's people act like it's extra brutal, but it's really not. So, yeah.
Cool. I mean, if they think it was brutal, imagine 20 years ago when there wasn't all these rules and implications and formalities that you had to do in the sport. At a time, I remember UFC was like banned. Like, we would watch it like on those Faces of Death type of tapes. What I'm saying? Like the banned from TV type of tapes. Kind of like backyard wrestling, like extreme backyard wrestling. It was that, like, it was labeled. It had that type of mantra with it.
Right. And even now, people still kind of don't appreciate it. They don't get it. They just see, maybe the aftermath and call it barbaric or something like that. But, boxing's kind of barbaric. Hell, football's, somewhat barbaric. So, I kind of appreciate it now, and I think I'm going to start watching boxing again and covering boxing. So, I think I'm back. So, thank you, Andre Ward.
I like the
and,
fire.
Sergey Kovalov, thank you too.
I really like it. You know, you have some Detroit news over there that you're grinning about. What's going on in Detroit over there? Detroit.
The Pistons, well, I mean, it was inevitable. Sorry, I got distracted by they showed a picture of Mark Davis. And yeah, I got a little.
I just said they showed a picture of me. I was about to.
Nah, they showed a picture of Mark Davis on TV talking to Charles Woodson and kind of angered me.
Avert your eyes.
Yeah, the Pistons are moving downtown. They should be ready to play their next season along with the Detroit Red Wings. So that's a good thing, and that's a great thing for the city of Detroit and everyone involved. And, I mean, they announced that they were working on it. I wasn't exactly sure when they were going to let that news fly, but you know they finally went ahead and announced that, and they're going to make it happen. So they're going to share Little Caesars Arena with the Red Wings, and that's going to be freaking awesome. So really, literally, all four of Detroit's teams are going to be basically essentially across the street from each other.
That is excellent. It's kind of like I know I've never been to the stadiums, but I had a basketball tournament in Denver, Colorado one year, and all of Denver's teams, the Broncos, you know, the Nuggets, the Rockies and their hockey team, they all play. I think the Avalanche, right? Colorado Avalanche, they all play. It's like a line pretty much. I think that's pretty cool. It's like right there.
Yeah, it is. And you don't have to travel far, and they're doing a lot on Woodward Avenue. Just besides the teams, they're building a light rail there. They're revitalizing downtown, what they already have. They're revitalizing that whole area all the way down Woodward and everything. So, yes, it's just going to be beautiful. All they got to do next is really, bring on the tourists. So,
yeah,
they have this beautiful scenery right now with the Christmas lights. I'm going to go take some pictures probably Wednesday night. Yeah, man, it's gorgeous. We drove by, but I forgot the camera, so I'm going to do it probably Wednesday or this weekend or something, and I'm gonna put it up on thecouchsports.com.
Excellent. Yeah, because when they were setting up when I was still there, just to reiterate, I went to Detroit. It's beautiful downtown, as Dave mentioned. It is nice. I wanted to quickly touch on this. Dilla Delight, remember Jay Dilla's uncle said that they are looking at a location out here in Berkeley, California. So I think that'll be pretty cool.
Actually, it would. And the hipsters love Dilla. The hipsters love the Roots. The hipsters love Common. They love everybody who's associated with that man. So that'll work out just fine. Hipsters, I mean, conscious people, you know, all the conscious brothers out there that really listen to real hip hop, you know, that kind of music is loved and appreciated. Even the old Kanye, not this new Kanye who goes on weird rants and shuts down concerts. But
I actually just bought I bought again Kanye's second and third album, The Graduation, and what's the second one called? The one first was College Dropout, second was Late Registration, and third was Graduation. So I bought the second and third one, and those are two of my favorite albums, like, of all time. Like, he did some good work on those albums, but it's just like, man, like, how could you go from that to, and it's like, oh, you know, Hollywood got a hold of him. That's what happened.
Right, exactly. Oh, and by the way, real quick, just to finish this up, the Pistons will announce Tuesday, tomorrow, at Cass Technical High School, which is a big, beautiful high school here in Detroit, right off
Grand
River.
Was that the one that we...
No, I didn't get to show you that one, but it's freaking beautiful.
Okay.
It's a big football school here. But, yeah, they're having a press conference there. For some reason, they're having it there. But, yeah, so that's going to be pretty freaking awesome, man. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Did you see, speaking of Detroit, did you see Tobias Harris left-handed reverse dunk baseline? Did you see that?
I seen all three of his dunks. He dunked. First, he dunked on Amir Johnson. And I don't know if you've seen it, but he dunked on him from baseline.
I missed that one.
Two hands. Then he had the reverse. The reverse was nice. Then he dunked on another Celtics player. I'm trying to remember who it was, but he nastied on that man too. It might have been, but it was somebody. I can't remember, but he nastied on that man too later in the game. He was getting off a little bit. He decided that he got aggressive, just like he should.
Mm-hmm.
He decided I'm gonna stop playing because he has this kind of. I'm trying
niceness.
To. His game is real. Like it has a real niceness to it. I'm trying to figure out who it reminds me of, because it's not soft. It's just, I guess, quiet, refined.
Grant Hill, Glenn Robinson.
Kind of Glenn Robinson, partial Grant Hill esque, because he can get to the cup at ease whenever he feels like it. It's just. I don't know. It's not aggressive. That's all. If he had Russell Westbrook type of a motor or aggressiveness to it, then everybody would know that man's name. But yeah. Well, we'll see tonight, man. I'm kind of excited about the game, but I'm not excited to watch what James Harden is about to do to both of these guards.
Oh, you were last podcast. It's Clint Capella. That's who you were trying to think of. He starts over Nene.
Oh, okay. All right.
And he's been playing pretty damn good because he makes less than $1 million right now.
Oh, right. So this is his audition right now.
Well, he's putting up. That's one of the reasons why the Rockets didn't want to re-sign. You know, that's one of the reasons why Dwight left, because you figure Dwight's making $18 million to $23 million a year. Clint Capella's putting up the same numbers. He's a better free throw shooter, and he's younger than Dwight. So right. It's a numbers game.
Yeah, and if that's the case, you might as well let Dwight walk and then see what Clint can do, and then you can figure out how to adjust his salary accordingly.
They don't make Clint's anymore, do they?
No, I thought of another name yesterday. It wasn't Joey.
Jarvis?
Yeah, they don't make Jarvis's anymore either. I don't think they make Ricardo's anymore.
Bruce?
They don't make Lenny's anymore either.
Oh, they do not make any variation of Lenny.
Yeah, all the Dennis's
Lenny,
are extinct.
Leonard, Dennis, Cletus.
Yeah.
Randall.
Randall's are extinct too.
Alexander. Not Alex, Alexander, the fool.
Oh, man.
So, you're going to have your hands busy tonight because... Oh, that didn't sound right at all. You have the Raiders. You have the Pistons. The Warriors also play... We play the Pacers. So, there's a lot of stuff for you to get in trouble.
There is.
The Timberwolves play
some
Dallas.
Sleep somehow. Actually, I think that Dallas played yesterday, right?
The Timberwolves played Minnesota. Boston. I'm sorry, looking at
this. Yeah, because I thought Dallas played the Spurs.
Yeah, Dallas plays Sacramento now.
Yeah, Dallas is playing San Antonio at 8:30.
I'm telling you, you're doing so well with those with the Pistons pregame and postgame shows. I do. Yeah, I say it, Ish Smith. I think he should be starting somewhere. And it's funny because one of the teams that you mentioned about getting an upcoming ass whooping by the Pistons, the Orlando Magic, I think Ish Smith should go back there. He'd be perfect there.
He would. And then they can finally get rid of Hair Hat. What's his name? Alfred Payton.
He needs to be in the D-League. I'm sorry.
He does. Or go back. Can you demote somebody back to junior college? Go all the way back to JC. I wish he could, man, but I don't know. But Ish would be great in Orlando, especially, you know, let Serge walk. Or here's a better idea. Since Serge is going to walk anyway, because what's the point of sitting there in Orlando? How about you trade Serge? Because I'm sure you can get something for Surge. And then somebody will be fool enough to think they can talk him into staying. And then there's, he's somebody else's, you know, contractual problem after that. So if I was Orlando, I'd try to flip Surge, get some young players for the future, and, you know, maybe get an Ishmael for, or something like that, and then here we go, you know?
It's crazy, the market for in the NBA right now. It's just insane. You got guys like Greg Monroe, who's making close to $20 million coming off the bench, averaging, you know, 9 points, 8 rebounds a game. You know, you have guys like Clint Capella, who's making just $1 million a year, averaging almost a double-double, you know, with limited minutes and starting, and has great potential. It just boggles my mind, like, how the NBA works. Like, Joel Embiid, I hope he stays healthy. I know it's so early in the season, but I'm rooting for this guy to, man, I really hope he gets off the Sixers, because when Ben Simmons comes back, if Jahlil Okafor is healthy and Nerlens Noel is healthy, they're still going to suck. They don't have any shooters.
No, they don't. They don't. And it's going to be kind of a wasted year. It's going to suck. It's going to be very early 2000s Warriors-esque. In regards to, you have one solid player in Joel Embiid, and it's like, okay, it's somebody to root for. Ben Simmons is going to come back, and they're going to have two players to root for, but you're still not going to have enough to even approach the hump, not let alone even get over one. So it's going to be no real traction, because you're right. They need shooters. They need a real point guard. They need a lot of things. And
yeah,
it's got to be hard right now to be a Sixers fan. I mean, you got a couple of players to hang your hat on, but goddamn, man.
The thing about that is, it's like, if Joel – see, this is the thing. If Joel Embiid was not producing and playing the way that he's playing, then Sixers fans and the organization can say, oh, well, at least we have Okafor and Nerlens. Okafor is on minute restriction just like Embiid. Nerlens is injured. So it's, and Ben Simmons is injured. So it's like I wish they would have never blew up that team – that, you know, Drew Holiday, Iguodala, Thaddeus Young, Spencer Halls, Samuel I really love that team.
Yeah, dumbass Sam Hinkie, though, and I don't know. I still don't know what his plan was and what the hell he was thinking for all those years, all that tanking and doing dumb shit and trading people. But right now they have an opportunity, because if Ben Simmons comes through, and I think he doesn't have to have as big as expectations anymore. I mean, you can kind of turn that down, because Embiid has been, you know, balling pretty much. So he can kind of come in and get comfortable without everybody looking at him like, all right, LeBron Jr., do your thing, you know? Because Embiid has been such a big surprise for everyone that, you know, it's just, okay, just come in here and compliment that man. That's it.
Imagine missing 3 years of playing basketball, multiple surgeries. If hypothetically, in David's opinion, mm-hmm. if all four, Nerlens, Jahlil, Ben, and Joel are healthy, whose team is it? Who starts? Who sits down?
Joel Embiid's team. And they're going to have to make a decision, because now you're going to have three big men who play the same position. None of them can move. Listen, you're going to have Joel Embiid, Okafor.
Joel Embiid can stretch the floor, though.
I understand, but if he's a stretch four, even because he can shoot, you might even be able to slide him to three, but you still have Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is 6'10".
Yeah.
So you have all these four people who are 6'10 and up. So you have Ben Simmons, and you have Joel Embiid, you have Okafor, you have Nerlens. Four young cats. You need to make a decision, because you can't have all four on the same team. You just can't. That's not going to work.
I have a trade proposal for you. 76ers send Jahlil Okafor, and a first-round pick to Washington for John Wall.
Ooh. You think John Wall is well, it won't matter if he's getting traded. I was going to say, do you think John Wall will sit there and go through growing pains with a bunch of youngsters? But if you get traded, you don't have a damn choice.
Or you trade Bradley Beal for Nerlens Noel straight up and just go from there. Because there's the thing, like, I know that sounds like a dumb trade, but John Wall and Bill, it's not going to work out. So
it's
not.
Steph and Monte.
It's not going to work out because they're not getting along on the court. They're not getting along off the court. And it's John's team. John Wall is a 20 times better player than Bradley Beal. Yeah. Bradley Beal he has star potential. John Wall is a superstar. You know what I'm saying? He just doesn't get the love. He can't do everything himself.
That's because he's stuck on a losing-ass team. I feel bad for him like I felt bad for Tracy McGrady for all those years, and he didn't have the talent around him. You know, what do you want the man to do? Not you, but just the people. Like, I wish he got a lot more recognition than he did, but he needs to go to a winning team and be in a winning situation. Otherwise, he's just going to be another great player, underrated player that nobody talks about, you know?
The thing is, too, we have to factor in that the Sixers, for me, it's like it's playing the percentages. You're basically like, okay, whichever one of our prize draft picks get healthy first, it's going to be their team, and we'll go from there, which is terrible. Because Simmons has not played an NBA game. It took Embiid 2 years to play an NBA, 3 years almost to play an NBA game. Uh-huh. Nerlens was beasting, you know, and Okafor was beasting, and they played well together. Okafor and Nerlens played well with each other, and they were just learning how to play with each other. Your veterans on the team is Gerald Henderson and Jared Bayless. Jared Bayless is making his debut tonight because he was hurt in the offseason. And this is what I'm talking about. You got to find guys, you got to kind of force guys, veteran guys, to go there.
Yeah, my God, man.
That's why Bradley Beal.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about Philadelphia. It's a major city. It's a major media market as well, and they have a great fan base. So why not go over there and build? I mean, I get people want their glory immediately, but come on, man. Like make the smart move. Jared Bayless and any other freaking veteran nobody cares about, you might as well go over there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, look what they did to Elton Brand. Remember, they brought him out of retirement just so that he can – take on a mentorship role for Okafor and Nerlens Noel. And I thought that was pretty cool, you know, because he played
it
like
is,
this
they
5-6 minutes a game.
Yeah, and also they just need someone to learn from, to learn how to be a professional, to learn how to come at to work the right way. Everybody needs that in every business at every level, and they're no exception.
I think if it came down to it, they're not going to trade Embiid. There's no way you're going to do that. You're not trading Embiid because it's Embiid mania right now.
They would be stupid too.
Nerlens is, yeah, they would be very stupid.
Okafor and Nerlens are the odd man's out right now. Exactly. You can pair one of them with Embiid, but you have to make a decision of who.
Yeah.
And like you said, you probably could get John Wall if you kept, say you traded Nerlens for John Wall and you keep Okafor, Embiid, Simmons. Now you just got to get a shooting guard and bolster that bench, and you have something, to be honest.
I like the way how the starting point guard for the Sixers, Rodriguez, I think he's going to be nice. Hopefully he could be a upgraded version of Ricky Rubio because he's putting up 8-8, but it's kind of like Ish Smith syndrome. Like, okay, you can put up low numbers in points, high numbers in assists, but somebody has to do it. So it's like, yeah, you're putting up numbers, but you're not impacting the game. It's kind of one of those things. Nick Stauskas, I think, is going to be a key to the Sixers' success as well.
I can see that. 76ers getting some love on the Couch Sports.
Man, I'm telling you, that's what we all about, promoting love. And speaking of love, did you see my predictions on the Couch Sports?
I did. I just didn't get a chance to comment, but yeah, I did. And I do like him, and I really do like that you put the reserves as well in different scenarios.
There's going to be a lot of different scenarios, and I wanted just to touch on this. I want Kemba Walker to make the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just politics. He's averaging career high in points, but and Charlotte is playing good basketball, but unfortunately, you got guys like Dave and Terrell from CouchSports.com who are trying to push this guy. Why isn't SportsCenter pushing this guy? Hell, he plays for Michael Jordan. Why isn't Michael Jordan pushing and promoting him? And that's the
right,
thing that's like.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. And it is frustrating to sit here and see that he's not getting a promotion he should. But also, if you look at how that team is constructed, oh my God. I mean, you could beat a dead horse with Jordan and his failure with rosters, but also he tried to hire the right people to do it for him this time. But I want Kemba to have success. I really like him as a player, and I really wanted him to make an all-star team to kind of get some recognition for, you know, his play. Because he's on fire right now. They have a great record right now. Like, come on. And
I don't
hopefully
want
they
Kemba,
keep it up through February.
I don't want Kemba Walker to turn into a Raymond Felton. And I don't mean because of the off-court. You know, Kemba Walker doesn't have any off-court issues, but Raymond Felton did. I mean career-wise. Raymond Felton was a hell of a basketball player with Charlotte. Underrated as hell. Just never got, you know, even DJ Augustine with, you know, Steven Jackson when he played at Charlotte. Jason Richardson, Emeka Okafor.
I don't want
Charlotte
him to turn into Michael Redd.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good comparison.
Like a really, really, really good player. He just gets no recognition, and then at the end, then he gets hurt, and then, you know.
Oh, man, that Michael Redd made the 2004 All-Star team, and I think he won a bronze medal in the 2006 FIBA championship with that team.
Yeah, that All-Star and berth, man, by the time he got his recognition, you know, he was on the backside now. And
yeah. He got paid, though. I remember there was a bidding war. LeBron wanted him, and he stuck with the Bucks, and he went a few seasons putting up like 26 points a game, and he, you know, that was after the All-Star berth. You know, I was just like, damn. It was kind of like Anton Jameson. Somebody's going to put up big numbers and not make the All-Star team. And I think this year it's going to be Hassan Whiteside. You know, I think he's putting up hell of a numbers, but their team sucks right now.
Miami is terrible.
Trash,
I watched them when they played the Bulls, and I'm just looking at this roster like, what the hell is this shit?
What's funny to me is, where is all the sports pundits who said that Eric Spoelstra was a genius when LeBron and Wade?
Thank you.
They were okay. Where's his, you know, congratulations at now? Where's his?
Thank you.
You know,
he's a great coach. How hard is it to coach LeBron?
Man coaches himself.
God,
for God's sake,
damn.
Last year when they played the Bulls, remember what happened before David Black got fired. Remember what happened? He called timeout when they didn't have timeouts, and the refs didn't see it. There would have been a technical foul. LeBron caught the out of bounds play. It went to him. He shot the three in the corner, all net, game.
Right.
And it's like, you got a guy who, a superstar. He doesn't need coaching.
It doesn't need coaching. He's the coach. He's the GM. He's the smartest dude on the floor. Like, I don't. How hard is it? Just like when Mike Brown won Coach of the Year and everybody said he was great.
Oh, my God.
No, he wasn't great. I said it then. How hard is it? You just roll the ball out to LeBron. Go get him. You tell me what you want me to say during timeouts.
It's like, okay, I think, okay, as much as I don't like his defensive, you know, coaching because he doesn't coach defense, look what Mike D'Antoni did with Phoenix. Granted, you had Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, and Sean Marion, but before that, they were nobodies. They had Marbury, they had Stoudemire, and they had Sean Marion, but they were nobodies before that. As soon as he got there, he was like, no, 7 seconds or less. And boom, breaking all these records. Fun basketball to watch. They had those orange, cool, alternate jerseys, just scoring all these damn points.
And they had the great, like, Steve Nash to run it.
Exactly.
That car doesn't go without Steve Nash. He was the key.
Yeah. You even had a good, solid backup in Barbosa. You had all these players.
They were deep, man. Quentin Richardson, young Joe Johnson before ISO Joe.
Oh man, yeah, that team was nice. What's the dude who used to play with the Kings who dyed his beard? He was a light skinned brother. Sometimes he would dye his beard blonde. He played with the Suns for a while. What's his name? He was the backup. He was Amari's backup for a second.
He played power forward?
He played power forward center. He was with the Kings originally. Then he went over to to Phoenix, and he used to dye like his hair and his beard. And his beard would be like kind of like a blondish color.
Black, white?
He was black. He was a brother. He was light skinned.
Oh man, that's gonna be today's mystery.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now.
Oh man. I need to know who the hell you talking about.
I need to know too, because I don't know why that just popped into my head. That is like hella crazy. Oh yeah, Rajah Bell, Kurt Thomas. Was it Kurt Thomas?
Kurt Thomas? No, Kurt Thomas was always clean cut.
Sean Marks. Who was it? What was his name? I'll find it. In the meantime, Raiders, what's your prediction tonight? Playing in Mexico.
Raiders by 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. 28-13. I don't believe in the Texans, and then the Raiders are playing too well to sit here and have to, you know, play with
Brian Skinner. That's who it was. I'm sorry.
Brian Skinner.
Yeah, you don't remember Brian Skinner? Look him up.
Brian Skinner. That sounds so familiar to me. Hold on, I'm looking it up right now. Brian Skinner. You know what? I remember. Two things about him. One, no, he was decent on defense. I remember him getting a lot of weak side blocks. And two, usually when you got to dye your beard or something like that, you do that to get noticed. Because nobody's looking at you. That's usually
why. It's like Chris Douglas Roberts. Remember that guy? He had the Dougie Fresh dreads, and then he started wearing the short shorts just to get noticed. And
yeah,
he's out of the loop.
Yeah.
Well, man, a Brian Skinner reference on the CouchSports.com.
Didn't see that one coming when you woke up.
Right. When you're mowing the lawn this morning or getting the newspaper, you didn't see that coming. A Brian Skinner reference, did you?
When we started this episode, we weren't thinking, hey, we should mention Brian Skinner.
He just came out of nowhere. Oh my God. And I said Kurt Thomas, and I was like trying to convince myself it was. I was like, no, Kurt Thomas is right. He's right. He never played on the Kings, and he was clean cut, right?
Yeah, he was always clean cut. He probably be clean cut till the day he go.
He got a clean casket and everything.
Right. Oh, damn. Well,
real quick, there was over 12 missed extra points yesterday in the NFL.
That's a good thing to me because, truth be told, the extra points used to be a gimme. And now that they moved them back, I like that you have to concentrate now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put some skill in it. You have to put some thought into it. And it might even entice more people to go for two, which might make the NFL more exciting or make you not get up, you know, go use the bathroom, grab a beer, whatever you do during extra points. You got to pay attention now. And then they come with a consequence, a built-in consequence if you miss them. It might cost you at the end of the game. You never know. So kickers got to step their game up too and act like athletes now. They got to practice now.
What's funny to me is not just like you know, novice kickers missing, like Vinatieri's missing, you know, Gronkowski's missing, Janikowski. I'm like, wow, I wonder how they feel about this, because this is like messing up their stats like crazy.
Yeah. You got to give a damn now, you know? That's what I love about it.
Shit. You know what's not getting messed up is punters. Talking to you, Marquette King. All you got to do, you know, not scoring any points. So tonight, when I get back home and I, you know, I got the game recording on DVR, I better not see you celebrating for doing a punt. And take that damn arm sleeve off, too.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dancing. They had some kind of, what do you call that when they have a little interview, a little vignette, if you will, about somebody. And they try to be funny on a four-letter network and said, "We're kicking it with Marquette King." I see what they did there, but it wasn't funny, so my face stayed straight. That shit wasn't funny. So tired of cheesy-ass jokes.
I'm laughing because I could just picture your face, that blank ass. All you hear is, like, your eyelids blinking together.
Yeah, because I was smiling before I heard it, and I looked over, and I was just like, really? That you had all day to come up with something, and that's what you came up with, kicking it with Marquette King?
Well, I unfortunately, folks, I have to go. Got to pay some bills right now.
No problem, and I'm going to go watch a game or two and watch the other one at 4 a.m. And then, yeah.
For those of you that do not know, I am a professional hand model.
Yes. Keep it in a case like on Zoolander.
Got like a glove and everything.
Oh shit. All right, well, we will say adieu to these people, man. Thank you for listening, people. Peace.
Banana cognac. Bye-bye.
Let's go.